funny to you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An acquired taste.
Don't talk to me. I am copying and pasting.
Your laptop matches your sweater.
Thanks, man.
You need to stay in the zone.
Keep me in the zone.
I'm so good at not hearing other people when they're speaking to me. It's crazy.
You are. Half the time I'm like, what did I say to piss Kathleen off? And I'm like, I say your name a little louder. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. What?
Tis the season for very bad holiday movies. And as everybody knows, Bethany is the queen of Hallmark movies until she canceled her cable subscription.
I know. I canceled my cable subscription forgetting that the holidays were coming up. And I really am not in the holiday spirit this year. And I feel like that is in large part to the fact that I'm not watching the Hallmark movies.
You didn't know you were canceling part of your soul,
no,
did you?
No, it didn't occur to me.
Lucky for us, Netflix has kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and deliciously so, because their first original holiday movie, A Christmas Prince, was so bad. It was so good.
We are your friends from an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Sam. That's Bethany.
Hi.
I don't know why I went full Wisconsin. There's Kathleen.
Hi.
And we're here to remind you that whatever you think that's just you in your brain, it's not.
It's us too.
It's us too. So I am. So this is what's happened. So we remember, guys. Hey, remember when we asked you to send us your addresses?
Yeah.
That was a good idea.
We thought we'd get, at the most, 150. That's what I thought.
Yeah, me too.
I am going through the emails. I still have 800 to go. And you guys went through...
I went through Facebook Messenger, uh-huh, and I ran out of labels. Like, I need more labels today. There are still things to write.
And Kathleen, you went through Instagram.
I didn't go through Instagram yet.
Oh, no!
Oh, Lord, help me. Give me strength to get through today.
So I'm going to say, it's too late. I'm just going to say it's too late to send us your address.
It's too late.
We can't.
I am so sorry about the tweet I sent out last night asking for more case. I'm so sorry.
We are so overwhelmed with how many of you are listening, and this makes us so happy. It is...
It's a great problem.
Unreal.
It's the best problem.
It's the best problem.
We wish we were sending cars. Like, we wish everyone got an SUV.
It's amazing. Yeah. Well, that was the original plan.
Yeah.
And then it turns out there's a lot of you. So what you should take from this, sweet dear listener, is that there are a lot of you. And if you feel alone, and one amazing thing has been, as I go through these emails, a lot of people feel alone.
Yep.
You are not alone. You have a tribe of people who willingly gave their home addresses to what are three total strangers.
Some people were so playfully skeptical about it. They were like, I trust that you three won't murder me in my sleep, so here's where I live.
Yeah. Oh my God. I wish we could be like, what's that big check that comes to the house?
Oh, Publishers Clearinghouse?
I wish we could be like Publishers Clearinghouse podcast edition and then show up with this secret surprise for sending you.
Well, it's, you know, maybe if we keep doing well.
It is amazing. I was going to say something. I don't remember what it was. Oh, it is split 50-50 in the emails of please stalk me and please don't stalk me.
Yeah, so we're just going to roll a dice. And, yeah. You know?
I'm all about the stalking. I love online stalking.
I do too.
So satisfying.
I actually listened. I listened to a podcast, and one of the people recently moved to a different city, and I'm wondering if he broke up with his girlfriend because he doesn't talk about her in the new city, and I'm invested in figuring this out. This is my new mission.
You should reach out. Just drop a seed. Just send them an email.
That's too easy.
I know it's easy, but it's fundamentally... Now you're playing with them.
No, you have to check their LinkedIn, and then you have to like go on that website, Spokio, where you like add all of their family members, the names you remember, and then it tells you maybe where they live, maybe what their age is.
Names they're associated with.
Kathleen's one step away from being CSI.
I'm telling you, I would die to fight white-collar crime in the FBI.
Maybe that's your new job.
It's my true calling. But I've heard about this like thing that you have to do to get into the FBI, like be really smart and then like pass all of these physical fitness tests and speak a couple of languages.
It's called be really smart.
And I'm just like too lazy for that.
See, no, I don't know about that. I think you're giving yourself less credit than you should be, because even when we were coming in today, Kathleen, when we record early, Kathleen gets me and we drive in together. She was going to park and the parking was around the corner, and and Kathleen sees a Jeep park in the spot she usually parks, and she goes, I'm screwed. I'm like, why? She goes, that car is bigger than mine. I'm like, yeah. She goes, he could see ahead of us. If he's parking right here, it's because all the other spots over there are filled.
Oh, good point.
Mm-hmm. Detective Kathleen.
I am a detective. I wear a trench coat.
That's amazing. My sister also has a true calling. She's decided she wants to be a forensic odontologist. Mm-hmm. Which is amazing.
I know what the word forensic means, yeah. But I'm not sure about odontologist.
Let's break it down. What do you think it means?
Odin. Well, there's a restaurant here in Tribeca called the Odeon.
Yes,
so
keep going.
She is an expert in the food that they serve at the Odeon.
Back birds? In the past.
Birds.
No, it's someone who does forensic work based on dental like teeth.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, so like the show Bones, but only with mandibles.
Okay.
See, my father was a forensic scientist before he retired, and he's a crazy, fascinating man.
I did not know that about him.
Yeah, he specialized in narcotics.
I'm now afraid of your father.
A forensic chemist.
That's all it took.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. What's that like for bringing work home?
It would be like this. If I left the house and then... like he saw me coming back to the house because I forgot something, he would look outside and holler out the window, I'm going to deduct by the way that you're walking and the pace that you're walking and the look on your face that you forgot something.
Oh my gosh.
It was having like a Bill Nye at home all the time.
That has to be maddening.
His criminal cases were very fascinating. You know, he wasn't working on like scientific DNA. Like,
oh boy.
It was like crime scenes.
Yeah. That's heavy, Daddy.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Very cool.
His favorite story is when he once went to a new dentist and recognized the last name. And my father says to the dentist, hey, did you have a wife that was murdered and blah, blah, blah? I worked on the case.
Oh!
And he's like,
now
well,
check my teeth.
The dentist is like, yes, that was my first wife.
Thank you for bringing it up.
So you're a bilateral cuspids.
Happy Monday.
Jeez. Also, can we loop back? I want to say one more thing that was really cool while looking through emails.
Yeah.
Aside from the split of stalk me, don't stalk me, the amazing messages, I loved all the different locations and seeing how many people were actually neighbors that probably don't know it.
Oh.
Like multiple same town, multiple same zip code.
Whoa.
I was like, oh my God, I wonder how close these two listeners live to each other.
We have several people who live close to you, Kathleen.
Yeah. Oh, can I start a telephone with the two tin cans and the string?
Yeah, I mean, yes. One in particular, I think yes.
Yeah.
So it's really? Cool. Yeah. So
okay, cool.
It's pretty great. There's a whole community. And we have a listener in Reno. That stuck out to me. Several in LA. Like, yep.
Whoa, yep. We are cool enough to have listeners in LA.
We are.
I'm not LA even listeners. Cool enough to visit LA.
I know. I'm in LA 3.
We have a couple P.O. boxes, too. Mm-hmm. I wanted to write with a personal letter and be like, I just want to know, what's this about?
Yeah.
This is describe?
So you think we're sending you something in the mail, but really what we're doing, this is a social experiment. And
yes.
We are researching you.
Totally.
There were a couple of people who trusted us so much that they sent not their address, but a link to the Google image of their home.
I love that.
I'm like, thank you.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I got to go write that one down.
Yeah.
I thought it was a malfunction.
Uh-uh.
Also, something really cute, but this might be on us because we might not have communicated it very well. I read multiple email addresses.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's our bad because there were multiple ones. So
sorry.
That means it's got to be a little bit clearer. We meant written addresses. What was
sorry.
That?
Whoop.
Oh, sorry. That was
no,
my phone.
No, that's me. That's my phone.
Okay.
Everybody says. Okay. We're all the worst. So, what were we talking about this morning?
We wanted to talk about something that we read with a lot of listeners, which makes you feel better about yourself when you know you're not the only one, which is, that was the worst sentence phrasing ever. Not being alone.
General. You are not alone in this world. There are a lot of other weird people that enjoy the things that you enjoy and don't ever feel bad for being you.
No, the isolation.
Isolation.
The feeling of isolation. And I think it's something all of us, I mean, clearly a lot of our listeners have experienced because that was the most touching thing we got was a love letter and here's why. So maybe we could touch on our own.
It's easy to feel isolated at times in your life or for very long stretches in your life, most especially when you move to a new city.
Yes, this is
or
a big one.
You move with a significant other. So technically you're not alone because you live with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, But you're in a city where you don't have any family, you don't have any friends, and you can't rely on just one person to provide all of these things that you, all these basic things that you need in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, happiness and hanging out and food and money and shelter. And it needs to kind of be spread out.
And what happens if the other one becomes better adjusted quicker? That sounds horrible. Yeah. I have a friend who did that, and she's like, he's fine. And that made it so much worse for her, because she's like, what's wrong with me? And now she feels even more removed from him. And yeah, it's really rough. But do either of you have or want to share like a specific period of time or something that happened where you were on, you know, Lonely Island?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Welcome to my island.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's real nice here.
I like
trees
the pillows.
Are very tall.
It's winter 24/7. You guys.
I'm out
on my lonely winter island.
Goodbye.
And I know. So when I lived in Minneapolis and I was working for a bank, this was pre-nervous breakdown, but just. Mm-hmm. It sucked because even though I had gone to college in Minneapolis, I wasn't terribly tight with anybody that I went to college with. I sort of floated through college with a bunch of different groups of friends. Mm-hmm. And because I transferred colleges halfway through, I lost a huge group of friends in the process. So when I graduated college, I lost just like the people I was hanging out with and realized I hadn't really made any huge soul connections.
Right.
So it was a really tough period. You're working in an office. And if you're working in an office at a desk job, you are stuck with those people. So if you don't fall in love with your coworkers, mm-hmm. now you are in a group of people that you're not in love with. And I got super depressed. And I would have to basically find friends in and like comfort moments in things that weren't necessarily people. I actually emailed a woman last night who's going through this, and she lives in Minneapolis, and I told her about the museum that's there. There's this one particular statue of a Chinese dog, and this thing is huge. It's like probably 4 feet tall, and it's raised so that mm-hmm. when you look at it, it's at your eye line. And okay. I'm 5'10", so it's tall.
Wow.
That's not my eye line.
Not your eye, but it's Bethany's eye line. And so I would go to this museum like every day and just go to that lion and just stand in front of it and look at it. And I felt like I had a connection to it. And when I ended up moving away from Minneapolis, that was one of the quote unquote people that I visited, was that lion to go, or dog, it's a dog, to go say, thank you, I'm leaving. This is where I'm going to go. You're not going to see me for a while. And that area of the museum brought me so much comfort. And that's when I learned that in these moments, it's not about necessarily making a human connection if you can't. It's about finding little places that bring you happiness, like physical places. If it's a section of your desk where you have a couple of plants so that greenery makes you happy, mm-hmm. or it's a section of your apartment where you really like this jewelry box or you really like what your TV looks, something that brings you joy when you look at it, really is so helpful to get you through that kind of gap in the human connection you're looking for.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. I don't know if I've ever had a connection with something that wasn't.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, I had like my spiritual moments, but I'm connected to the moment, not like I am holding my blank.
I highly recommend.
Yeah, now I'm like curious.
One of my career goals is actually to make enough money that I can say to the Minneapolis Institute of Arts, I will fund your museum for a year if you will let me have a cast of this lion. I keep saying lion because it looks like a lion, but it's a dog. If you'll let me make a cast of it professionally so that I can have it poured and have one for myself, I will fund your museum for a year.
I can't wait to go to the party that they throw in your honor.
Well, don't you want to just buy the cast?
Because I don't want to take it away from other people.
And
I don't think they
lovely.
Would. I don't think they would. Give it to me. Sell it to me.
Side note.
Well, also, you live in New York, so your apartment's not big enough.
No. Let's not put that on stopping Bethany. Remember that time she wanted to buy a life-size bust when we were in Santa Fe?
I still regret not buying that.
It was a human, Bethany. Mm-hmm. You wanted to buy a still human. And what was funny was I saw it. We were in a secondhand shop, and I saw that. And we were walking around. It was huge. And all of a sudden, we lost Bethany. And someone said, where is she? And I hear guys. And I knew exactly what was going on. I didn't even even turn around. I'm like, she found the bus.
I found the bus. It was good, you guys. It was going to cost more to ship it back to New York than to buy it, and it was a couple $1,000s.
Yeah,
like I had saved up money for something.
Yeah,
it was going to be a rug or it was going to be whatever. So I had the stupid amount of money that I had saved up for a long time, and I'm like, I want to spend it on this. It was going to be about 3 times that just to ship it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah. That bus is still in Santa Fe.
I don't remember how much to ship, but I remember you were on the phone, and when you said the number, I started laughing. That number exists.
Yeah, we were walking to the cemetery at that moment.
Yes, I still regret not buying that Carol LaRoche painting, picture, charcoal. I don't know what it was. Maybe that was something I connected with. Yeah. I was staring at a picture for a long period of time. It was an artist named Carol LaRoche, and she does these fake-looking animal drawings with real-looking eyes. I'm just staring at it, and it was staring back at me. And then when I called a couple months later, it had been sold.
Oh, you called back funny.
I did, because I'm like, yeah. I'm not spending that money on this, and then you regret it later, and you're yep. like, ugh.
You guys have fancy art tastes. I just bought a picture of Audrey Hepburn at IKEA.
Yeah!
IKEA has amazing art.
Actually, it's not Audrey Hepburn. It's like Audrey Hepburn-ish.
It's like the cheap non-Disney knockoff version
yes.
of Audrey Hepburn.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You know, it's Audrey Hepburn.
I always feel lonely when I'm about to make a transition in my life. Like I felt very, very, very lonely when I was about to graduate from high school. Mm. And also right when I graduated from college, because I guess I had sort of moved on, but the world around me had not moved on. Mm. And when you don't feel a connection to the things that you do every day or the people you see every day anymore, it's easy to get lost. And also, I'm very impressionable. Mm-hmm. And I'm the type of person that's like, okay, well, I'm feeling very lonely and I don't feel like myself and nobody has the same interests that I have. So let me do things that I wouldn't necessarily do to make other people think I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of drinking, especially in high school. And then in college, when I had graduated, I was just working every day and going through the motions. And you can be surrounded by thousands of people on a train in New York City, walking down the street, and still be like, wow, I'm the loneliest person in the world.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I know.
Sucks.
And sometimes you got to shake things up. I moved. That's how I got over it after college. I moved. The people that I was living with when I graduated from college were toxic. That was like
toxic.
That was the first ingredient in a recipe for extreme loneliness. Yeah. Not being surrounded by people who support you and who love you. And then I moved and I forced myself to make new friends.
I like that. How did you do it?
Yeah, good question.
I found roommates on Craigslist that I didn't know. So I didn't have comfort in anybody that I lived with.
That's
so
amazing.
It forced me out of my comfort zone.
I love that.
And they had already had an established group network of friends in the city that I moved to, Hoboken, and I became friends with their friends, and I'm not best friends with any of their friends, but it was just a stepping stone, and through that, I met one of my best friends today.
I like that. I like the notion that little fixes count. Like, if loneliness and isolation inside of you is this huge gash, people sometimes will say, well, that's not a fix, that's just a little... Like, I'm not going to sign up for ballet. Yeah, I'm not going to sign up for ballet. I'm hardly going to meet people. It's not really going to do anything. The little band-aid that ballet and meeting a handful of people will put on that gash might end up helping it eventually close.
Hacky sack.
Yeah, join that hacky sack league. Oh my God.
Ooh,
I
how
love
retro.
Competitive hacky sack.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Just, you know what I mean? Like, do a little thing.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, this isn't the fix.
Board game night.
Board
competitive,
game night.
Physical competitive board game night. Loser gets slapped across the face. I'm just thinking
See,
of communal
people never
opportunities.
Want to play with you anymore, and this is why.
I signed up for a dodgeball league, and that's how I met a lot of my very good friends.
That was fun, mm-hmm. although that was a rough night for you once.
Yeah, I once ended up with a gash in my face. But
you were a trooper, though. Yeah, I was on the league, by the way.
5 stitches. Don't wear your glasses if you're playing dodgeball.
Damn, girl.
But some of my friends do shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard is good.
Sign up for things in your area. Effing do it. I'm sorry I'm passionate about this.
No.
Do it.
May I share my new life mantra?
Yes, please.
Were you had you finished your complete thought? I didn't want to cut you. I just realized I cut you off.
I start getting hyped and then I start talking in fake
Sam
fragment
have
sentences.
Okay.
Oh, Sam doesn't have complete thoughts. Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
I think
okay.
so. I don't know. I've never figured it
out. Oh my
out.
God, that was so rude. I'm so sorry.
Sam doesn't have complete thoughts.
You're not wrong.
Wait, but Bethany, before you start your new complete thought, I saw a Christmas meme that said, ho, 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 come a ho.
If that's not my Christmas card, I'm going to be really upset.
Well, Elvis, our boss, once sent me a meme. And it said, how to make your prostitute name. Take your first name.
Yes.
And then add your last name.
I was all ready for an equation involving pets and street names.
Okay, is that your pimp name?
that's your stripper name.
Yeah, mine's Teddy Colleen.
I'm Daisy Magnolia.
I think I'm Fluffy Hamilton.
Guys, we should start a podcast with our stripper names.
Welcome to the stage.
Oh my God, I just realized I could have a single person show. Samantha Coppolino, Samantha Willell Jackson,
yep.
And Teddy Colleen.
You're still in my phone as Samantha Willell Jackson.
Thank you. Don't ever change it.
You're welcome. Okay.
Wait a minute. Wait, should I do my isolation and then your thing? Or do you want to bring us
up?
Oh,
do your isolation. I'm going to bring you up.
That's the thing. If this is going to bring us up, let's save
it. Yeah, don't bring us back down.
No, don't bring me down, man.
I don't know why this word just popped into my head, but the word isolation makes me think of isotopes.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what those are.
They're the worst.
Biology, is it a cellular thing? No, it's a chemistry thing.
It's a forensic odontology thing.
Isn't it a math thing?
You're a math thing, you slut.
Thank you.
What the hell is an isotope? That's my new mantra.
What is an isotope? Your new mantra is a question that could be Wikipedia.
What is an isotope?
What is isotope?
All right, Sam, bring us down.
I don't want to.
Sam, you don't have complete thoughts. Bring us down.
I can't remember.
I'm so rude.
No, if anyone else said it, it would be rude. That was,
I felt like it was said without
it was
judgment.
Playful. Exactly.
Yeah. It was a statement of fact rather than an accusation.
My comment was a reflection of me.
I learned
sorry,
so much
that
from
way.
This room. I'm sorry you feel that way.
I'm sorry you feel that way about the comments I made about your ass. But so do you want me to bring you up then?
I don't know. Okay. I'll tell my story because I think that I'm also a slightly different group, which I love because my whole life I was not used to not fitting in. I fit in every day of my life very easily until college. And this is why. Because I decided very last minute that I didn't want to go to the college I had put the down payment, I put the deposit for.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a panic attack while I was at orientation and my mom's like, we're going to go to the other school you were looking at, which was Montclair. And then I decided I would rather be at Montclair as an undecided than the school I was going to as a musical theater major.
Wait, I had no idea.
Yes, I've blacked out. I don't discuss most of this part of my life. So I went to musical theater high school. I was like, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So I auditioned, I got into a school, and then I decided I hated the school. So I went to Montclair, although the program was filled already. So my only option was to go in undecided and then audition the next year. It's like, great, that's what I'll do. I had a couple friends in the program already, and I was really psyched. So then I show up to Montclair, and I live in the building where they put most of the musical theater people, which was just a coincidence. And I can't stress, other than my one friend that I had from high school, I can't stress how blatantly no one wanted me there because I was not a musical theater major.
Oh, that blows.
The day one, there was no shot given. And me, I'm like really peppy and upbeat and I'm like, I can work on this. It's fine. It's just the first day. Everyone's getting their feet wet. Nothing changed. And I lived in the building and even my good friend, like he was making friends of his major. So he had kind of started gravitating there and it was just complete. It was really just me.
Like they made, sweetheart.
Yeah, they were borderline like mean, a little passive aggressive sometimes, but never outright enough where I would say, what's your problem? I also wasn't as confident back then, so I wouldn't have even thought to address it. So then I started dating my first long-term boyfriend, who was a really big sweetheart, which now I think was in part to belong somewhere.
Yeah.
because as soon as I transferred out of there, I realized I didn't want to be with him anymore. So I'm just wondering if that was what it was. And he was on the soccer team. So I became a pseudo member of the soccer team. The only difference is I didn't even have a name with them. They referred to me as Mike's girlfriend. That was literally how I was addressed for 3 semesters. So
ain't that lovely?
Yeah. So the people I lived with completely ignored me, and the people that I would spend time with on weekends associated me with another identity. And that's where I was for 3 semesters. And
oh,
I would go
gosh.
Home every weekend, and I couldn't peg it. And then my parents would drop
me off.
Oh, I can
peg it.
Yeah.
You love to peg it.
Time for your pegging it.
And I'd get home or to my dorm, and I wouldn't know why, but I would just start crying every time. I couldn't figure it out. And that's what it was. It was 3 semesters minus breaks of just complete isolation. Mm-hmm. And it was horrible.
And you need people in your life.
I need people.
More than a lot of people I know. You're like a social butterfly.
I feed off social, but I was much less confident, and I never knew what it felt like to not belong, so I was just confused and kind of depressed by it without a definition. And the only advice I could give to people who think they might be in a similar situation is the promise that you will go through this. And that doesn't sound very uplifting, but it's an inevitability.
It is. Yeah. Loneliness at some point in life is an inevitability.
It is. And what's as important is if you don't sit in your room and feed it every day, it's going to pass.
Yes, and that's huge.
Yeah.
Because it is very easy to sit and feed it. Yeah. I am guilty of this today. So I'm glad you said that. That's such a good point. You're going to feel it, and it's going to suck, but you have to make the active choice to try to do something about it.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, if it moves into like mental illness territory, you also have to take the ownership of your own health.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And say, look, mental illness isn't my fault, but it's my fault whether or not I do something about it.
Absolutely.
And seek help from someone who knows about this stuff.
Like Kathleen mentioned, signing up for things or finding roommates and getting yourself out there. I ended up transferring because that place was not where my happiness was.
Yeah, you have to shave off that toxic whatever it is in your life.
Yeah.
Be it a place or a person or habit.
Yeah, and it took a long time, but it passed and it will pass. So
pick it off.
That's it. You just got to try to push through it and find some comfort in knowing that I feel this way today, I won't in a near tomorrow.
Yes.
That's it.
In an effort to make friends in college, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed still thinking about this because this guy goes out with somebody I went to high school with. There's this really cute guy. Sorry, that was a tangent. There's this really cute guy in the cafeteria at Rutgers where I went to college. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be that girl. And I marched right up to him, bobbing ponytail. And I went, hello, be my friend.
God, yes.
And I thought I was so cute and so quirky, and I was just going to sweep him off his feet because I went up to him out of nowhere and said, bop, bop, bop,
bop. It's a very Drew Barrymore thing to do in the 90s.
Yes.
My name is Kathleen. You should be my friend.
That's adorable.
And he looked at me like I was a serpent. And I will never. So I don't know if that moment right there, that was isolation.
But I feel like it sometimes would have worked as well.
But you know what? I learned from it. So walk up to somebody today, if you're feeling lonely, and say, hey, you should be my friend.
I think that was adorable.
Whether it's yoga or spin class or ask somebody where they got their yoga pants.
I'm sorry he was intimidated by your confidence and adorableness.
I know.
That's what it was. And it froze him. Can you lift us up?
Yes. So we have 2 minutes because
lift us up.
Yes. So we're going to lift us up.
Is this what you learned this week?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I was on Reddit because I needed to be lifted up, actually, quite literally. I just needed to change my brain and do something. So somebody was talking about, this was an amazing post about how this girl was like, she had just turned 20 and she had finally realized that like, she loved her body and she was tired of feeling hate towards herself and whatever. And somebody commented like, once you turn 30, you enter fuck it territory where you just don't give a fuck anymore. And one Reddit user, Zeptix, Zeptix, posted my new mantra. Get ready to bleep, but bleep sparingly because it's important.
Okay.
Fuck it takes practice like most things. The more you fuck it and see how little fear and anxiety actually matter in the end, the easier it becomes to fuck it in the future. And I'm going to read it again because this changed my life in 24 hours. Fuck fuck it takes practice like most things. The more you fuck it and see how little fear and anxiety actually matter in the end, the easier it becomes to fuck it in the future. And this is how I've applied this.
Okay.
So I am super hard on myself for the way that I look for various reasons. And there are times that I'm like, what if I look, what if, you know, my body looks like this or whatever for the rest of my life? Like I keep putting off things until I have the body that I want, or, you know, people do this all the time, until you have the career you mm-hmm. want. Blah, blah. What if in theory it never happens? You've just put off your entire life for your entire life.
Wow.
So what if you say, okay, what if I never get that perfect job? F*** it. Now what? Yeah. And you're forced to see what your options and the rest of your life look like.
I love that.
So what if, okay, it's like playing worst case scenario to help with the anxiety. What if you never find that connection that you're looking for? Okay, f*** it. How are you going to cope? What are you going to do? You'll survive because you have to. What's the next option? It's not going to be as bad as you think.
It's making you live your life.
Yeah. What if you reach out to that person who has your dream job and you say, hey, how'd you do that? Okay, you might as well. They could say no, but they might say yes.
I'm speechless. I feel like holy mother.
Right?
I feel like beautiful mind trying to put this together in my head.
It's awesome because my mom always talks about the veil of fear. Like the veil of fear is very thin, but it's scary. Once you go through it, you're like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. F*** it. You might as well. F*** it.
I'm going to make a little JPEG with that. Mm-hmm. And make it printable for people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I hope you like the F word, sweet dear listener, because you are about to have a lot of it in your life because you're about to own this.
I'm going to print that out and put it on my work computer.
It's amazing, right?
I want to come over to Kathleen's apartment and spell it out on her fridge with a little letter magnet.
Oh my goodness, how beautiful would that be written on like an old vintage mirror and like that chalk that writes on mirrors?
Miran could do that.
Miran, I'm going to send this to you and you're going to do it.
Yes.
You have no choice. She's like going crazy with work and also a trip.
Well, this
and now
is
we're
more
just
important
giving her projects.
Than both of those things.
Miran,
f*** it. F*** it, Miran.
If it's written in calligraphy, it's not a curse word.
I know. Oh my God. We got to press forward. Kathleen, what'd you learn this week?
So we started talking about Netflix having original holiday movies.
Yes.
Specifically The Christmas Prince. Here's a little Easter egg that I read online. In the opening credits, the whole movie takes place in New York, and I'm not giving anything away by saying that. In the opening credits, they show all of these sort of B-roll shots of New York in the wintertime and snowing.
Classic.
Except for the very last shot before it pans up to the theoretical building that the main character works in, and that is Chicago.
Because you know, there aren't any tall buildings in New York.
No. You had one job, Terrence.
And I'm pretty sure Netflix is doing it on purpose, like slipping in what they need to slip in.
That is hilarious. Well, you know what happened was it was a tough work day, but they were already there, and then Terrence said, F*** it, let's just shoot this building.
The interns who pulled the clips from the stock site of all the.
He made lemonade out of lemons.
Yes.
I love that.
Sam, what'd you learn this week?
So I learned this week that I am much more passionate about Kristen Stewart and her work than I thought.
Okay.
That's really what I learned this week. I saw the movie Personal Shopper.
Oh, I've always wanted to see that.
Oh, just watch it so we can talk about it, please.
Really?
I have to watch it again because it ended. The movie ended. I'm not going to give anything away, obviously, but the movie ended. And then my TV went black because that's what happens at the ends of movies. But I didn't realize the movie was ending because it was so much to think about that I tried to rewind it to watch it again. And then I dove into a pool of online research. And I love Kristen Stewart because she's great. Connie sent us gifts.
Oh,
sorry, Bethany.
Connie.
Connie sent us gifts. Look, I got little headphone ornaments.
Thank you, Connie. Is this Connie M?
Yes.
Yes, from Pembroke Pines.
I love her. She is the best. I got a coffee lover Christmas ornament. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry I'm making us late.
I got a camera.
Elvis is in Santa Fe. He's going to freak out if I'm not in the room.
A beautiful glass ornament.
We're going to take pictures of this. We love you. We love you guys so much.
That's so nice.
Follow us on Twitter at Acquired Podcast, on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast, and thank you for sending us your addresses. We love you so much.
You guys are awesome.
And bye.